And welcome once again to This Week in MCU, the weekly after show talking all things Marvel Cinematic Universe related. And tonight, joining me for the first time since yesterday is my partner in crime, Senraven.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
How you
doing?
It's
kind of late. It's weird.
It is weird. We're recording this late, but at least it feels like we'll be pretty much caught up after we get done this one. So
yeah,
initially anyway. So any news of Marvel between yesterday and today?
I mean, not really. We covered that they added the Defender saga officially to the MCU timeline.
We didn't talk about it, but I think I thought I had heard something about that as well, which is interesting.
So, I mean, we've known that it's there because Feige basically said he considers it canon for MCU, but they've officially added it to the timeline.
I think it also gives his Marvel Spotlight like subsection a little bit more validity, right? Because he wants that to be street level stories and things like that.
We're gonna get it. We're gonna get those street level stories.
Yeah, it's fine by me. And honestly, if that means we can, well, so I don't know if he's mentioned it at all, but I would love to get a little bit more Punisher.
That would be great. I would love to see him come back.
I would too, because he was great and probably my favorite Punisher out of all the ones that they've done so far. So, we'll see. But we're here to talk about Echo. And so if you have not watched the 5-episode series of Echo, please go back and watch it and then come back and listen here. We're not going to be doing a deep dive. We're going to be doing the series review overall. But, we're going to be talking about spoilery things. So,
very much spoilery things.
Yeah, and if you want to follow us, you can follow us at VO at twitch.tv/VOByKurt, or just look for This Week in MCU wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, so this story follows.
Before we dive in,
I
forgot I was going to mention it. We all know, everybody knows that Reiner? How do you pronounce his name? Jeremy Renner. Sorry.
Joe Renner.
Renner.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
Had his big accident. Yeah, had his big accident with a snowplow.
Yeah.
The news from either yesterday or day before yesterday is he's back on set.
Oh.
For Mayor of Kingston. So He's finally back to working, which is awesome. So I did want to mention that in the news, and I spaced.
Yeah, and also if you're at all a fan of Jeremy Renner, that's a great show.
It is a really good show.
It's a really good show. So I wonder if he'll be walking with a cane or
I don't know,
because his leg got screwed.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah, he got really messed up.
Yeah. So.
But. Just wanted to remember to mention it, and back to Echo.
Okay, cool, yeah. So Echo follows Maya Lopez, the adopted daughter of Kingpin.
They're going with niece in this one.
Well, yes. Yeah.
She keeps calling him uncle.
She calls him uncle because she knew her dad, and her dad died.
Right.
Right. And so I think that I think she called him uncle because he said, I worked with your dad and I'll take you in and I'll deal that. All of that. But really, he raised her at this point. From she was what, 12?
Something like that.
Yeah. So Maya Lopez is a deaf Native American Choctaw. And if you watched Hawkeye, she was also the leader of the Tracksuit Mafia. And she basically did work for the Kingpin. Now, they did alter her from the comics, where in the comics she has the ability to perfectly just like copy another hero's movements or another person's movements and whatnot, and just kind of adopt that ability. They didn't do that here. They
did a little bit with it when she showed up in
Hawkeye.
In Hawkeye,
a little bit.
But they got away from it in this one.
They definitely backed off on it, but that's okay because they leaned into the Native American aspect of things, like hard, which was really interesting. The other thing that I thought was really, really interesting about this thing overall was they just had people speaking American Sign Language all over the place. And they didn't do what a lot of TV shows do is for a lot of people who I've seen in person that do American Sign Language, you can almost hear them talking, but it's kind of a whispery type thing.
They had that on like the last episode.
I heard that. I actually heard that early on as well. It wasn't as pronounced.
No, not at all.
But my point was that they don't mute it.
Yeah.
Right? To make it even more effective. They just let it be the way it was. And that's what I love that about this quite a bit is it felt as real as it could feel. And I'm talking like all of it. Like the Native American stuff felt real. And again, I'm not part of that world, so I can't really speak too much to that. But it just felt grounded in reality. Like the whole thing. Again, as much as a superhero thing can be grounded in reality, right? But sure. But it just felt real to me. So I thought that was really cool. We basically, the first episode of this.
Is a recap.
It's a recap, but it's also kind of a, here are the origins of the Choctaw.
Yeah.
As well. They kind of they did a really cool origin story when not actually doing an origin story. I mean, they did the recap from Hawkeye which I thought was kind of nice.
Well, cuz we also get like they do the recap with Hawkeye, they show that, you know, he killed her father, but, you know, tells her that, you know her boss wanted her father dead. We get that piece. We get that fight scene with Daredevil, though. I don't remember that from the Daredevil show.
I don't think it was there.
I don't think so either.
Certainly not from the Daredevil show, and it certainly wasn't there, no, from anybody else.
If it was there, it wasn't from that angle.
Right.
So that was really cool to see, because this is the first we get to see him since She-Hulk, and, you know, before his show comes out in, what, like a year or something?
Right. And he was not wearing the red and gold.
No, he was in his the brown and red.
Yeah. The dark. It was that darker costume.
Yeah, the maroon.
Because I think timeline wise, the yellow, the red and yellow, or red and gold, whatever we're calling it, is newer.
Is LA.
Right.
Because he doesn't get that. Until he goes to LA.
Right, which is really weird. So this
is way before that.
And it screws with my head because in the comics, the red and yellow came first.
Yeah.
And so it just, it always throws me a little bit. So basically, Maya, they do the whole Maya thing and they show the recap from Hawkeye where she ends up shooting Fisk in the eye. Because
we don't see that in Hawkeye.
We hear the shot. It's all done off camera.
It's from the angle from behind the screen somewhere. So we hear the shot, and we don't know what happened. So we see it in this one that she shot him. She should have shot him in the head. Honestly, she should have followed the zombie rules.
Right. Yeah. Double tap. Yep. So so. Basically, this takes place 5 months after Hawkeye ends. And so Maya returns to Tomaha, Oklahoma, which is where she's from originally, and meets with her wacky cousin Biscuits.
And the dog.
And the dog and her uncle, Henry. And she basically says, hey, don't let anybody know I'm here. I just want to keep quiet right now. And we find out that Fisk has operations in Tamaha, which of course he does because...
Well, we get a shot of her at some random truck station that she walks between the trucks and pulls her shirt up and she's got a giant gash in the side.
Yep. Yep.
So she's definitely running from Fisk's people.
Right. And it really, we don't get a whole lot of story here, other than just kind of a setup for the rest of the series.
Yeah, they jump right into it.
And what we do get though is a little teaser at the end of the episode where we see a hospital monitor that basically is showing the vital signs, and Fisk with his eye wrapped is in the
hospital. Darth Vader breathing.
And Darth Vader breathing. Yeah.
Why is it always Darth?
I know. It's
just ingrained.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, it was pretty cool first episode. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And then we get to episode 2, which we get more of Choctaw history. And it says it's a flashback to Alabama, but in 1200 AD. Which, again, don't think too much about it. It's just a way to tell you where the geography is. a Choctaw named Loak is participating in what looks kind of like a combination of Hi-Li and field hockey. Not field hockey, but you know, it's what is that game? It's not Hi-Li. It's with the net. Lacrosse. Yeah, it's kind of like an old version of lacrosse, and basically it's the two teams, the two factions of Choctaw apparently are playing this game to find out who gets to stay on the land.
Yeah, and the losing team gets thrown off.
Right, and we see Loak, who is this key person on the Choctaw team, and she is like apparently this great player of this game, and the opposite team sends out their big bruiser to kind of like take everything because the Choctaw right now are killing it. They're like, or Loak's faction is killing it because they're like 9-1 for the score. And you only need 10 to win. But then the other team sends out this giant bruiser, a dude that just like runs over everybody and everything. And Loak actually, she's playing, and then all of a sudden she receives a vision and her hands start glowing. And you're going, okay, here come the superpowers. And she basically, yeah, she wins the game.
Right, but there's not like, it's not really superpowers.
No, that's the thing, right? It's not.
It's connecting with. It's basically, we see that it's connection with the ancestors in the previous generations, and she pulls on their knowledge,
right?
You know, basically, just strategy and other things, which is really a cool idea. And this is where, like. We got five episodes, right? Everything dropped at once.
Yeah.
So of course the reviews came in right away, and I've already seen a few like, well, the show was okay, kind of a meandering and slow pace, and at the end, you know, all we see is her hands glow. I'm like, well, then you obviously didn't really watch it and didn't understand what the hell was going on.
Right. Right. And actually, one of the things I didn't mention about episode one. So these are all named after people in the Choctaw nation, and historical people. And so the first episode was Chaffa, and Chaffa. It's
the creation.
It's the yes, very much so, right? And Chaffa emerges from under the earth to be like the first Choctaw, is what it it appeared to be. This one, Loak, is we're 1,200 now, and this is another strong Choctaw person who has this way to draw upon her ancestors, right? So we get a lot of that for the backstory, and then we flip back to Maya, and she basically says to Biscuits, "Hey, yeah. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna hijack a cargo train that Fisk is running, and they find munitions and homemade bomb stuff. And the one thing we didn't mention about Maya, if you're not aware, is not only is she deaf, but she is missing a leg, or at least below the knee. Right. So she has a prosthetic.
That was." We did see that in Hawkeye.
Right, right. I'm just thinking that some people may not have seen Hawkeye. That's right. All. So while they're trying to hijack this train, she gets her foot stuck in the coupling and kind of all but destroys her prosthetic as part of this whole thing. And she gets a new prosthetic, but you know it's a whole thing. And she's talking with Scully, who is one of the women in the town, and she reveals that like Maya is also having these visions, like on occasion. Yeah. She's just like she's getting flashes, and Scully is her grandmother, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So Scully's her grandmother, and her grandmother also we learn has. Had these visions, but she wasn't sure, you know, what Maya was going to end up with. So,
so her grandmother is played by Tantu Cardinal, who's been around since 78.
Mm-hmm.
And like, as soon as I see her, I'm like, okay, this is going to be great. I love seeing her and stuff. She's been in so many excellent shows recently on Apple TV with. A few shows with Momoa. She was on Stumptown. Unfortunately, that didn't get a renewal. She was great in that. Every time I see her, I'm like, this is gonna be good. She always plays such a great hard ass, and it's just very entertaining.
Right. So so the train thing. One of the things about the train thing too is that the whole point of the hijacking the train. Is for Maya to plant a homemade bomb in the train.
Yeah, and she wasn't trying to steal anything.
You're right. She was just trying to make Fisk's life terrible. So she's successful in planting the bomb. It gets to one of Fisk's armories in New York, and the bomb goes off and just like destroys the facility. And there's this Black Knife cartel, and the leader of it is this dude named Zane, who, if you've ever seen him, always plays a bad guy.
Yeah, like, he's got the look.
He's got the look, and he's always a bad guy. And I can't remember what I last saw him in, but it was something like Justified or one of those shows. Although, yeah, I don't know. So Scully is revealing to Maya that woman that was Chaffa, the first Choctaw, and just kind of talking to her about it. And one of the things that we find out about is that Maya's childhood friend Bonnie still doesn't know that she's around.
Yeah, she's trying to keep her out of it.
Right. And Biscuits is Maya's cousin. And Biscuits is like, yeah, so you gotta tell Bonnie. And Biscuits is an idiot. I mean, he's just this.
He means well.
He means well, but he's the idiot cousin, right? He's just.
Yes, he really is.
And so, of course, in idiot cousin fashion, he's talking with Bonnie and says, yeah, it was crazy. I screwed up the truck, but it's okay because Maya and I are both fine. And Bonnie goes, "Wait, Maya's back? It's like, no, I said my truck is fine. Which
yeah, good save, bro.
Yeah, good save. So, and that's kind of where that ends. Maya is just still is kind of refusing to interact with any of them. I do love Biscuits. I think he's great because he's such a doofus. So, episode 3 is called Tuklo. And we're now in the late 1800s. And Tuklo is a woman who is practicing shooting with her father. And her father was a member of the Light Horsemen. And Tuklo wants to be a Light Horseman, except this is the late 1800s. Women are not allowed to be Light Horsemen.
Well, she also... she doesn't want to kill anybody.
Agreed. Agreed. And at least, and again, I don't know much about the Choctaw other than what I'm hearing here. But one of the things that they say in the episode specifically is that braids are for men. And so Tuklo actually just, there's a whole little sub scene where she goes and she braids her hair. So she can kind of disguise herself,
yeah.
Which again is interesting because it's completely opposite from the way we view gender roles now in terms of like the hair and of things, or have traditionally recently. So we find. So basically Tuklo goes out and she receives a vision of Chaffa and Loak. And her hands begin to glow. And the criminals that are trying to ambush the Light Horsemen get completely taken out by Tuklo. It's like she turns oh my God, why can't I remember it? Bullseye. She turns into Bullseye.
Yeah, pretty much.
And she takes them all out. And in a really cool scene, she sees her dad, and her dad just gives her the knowing nod rather than take her to task for being out there, which I thought was pretty cool. So we flip back to the present, and we get Scully is being visited by Chula. And now that I'm thinking about it, isn't Chula the grandmother?
Yes.
And Scully is just a friend of the family, I think. I can't remember now. But Chula's the grandmother. Definitely Chula's the grandmother because Chula's truck is what Biscuits borrowed.
Yeah.
And destroyed it.
Well, Scully is basically like her ex.
Scully, yeah. Scully is the dude that owns the pawn shop.
Yes. And okay. He's... basically can repair anything.
Right. And so Scully's the one that did the repairs on the prosthetic. And what was really cool is the last time he did a repair, he added this like decorative plate that helped strengthen the prosthetic, but also gave her a little bit of who she is. So Scully is visited by Chula. And he basically says, yeah, you need to reach out to Maya. And we flip back over to Maya, and Maya gets a vision of Chaffa and Loak and Tuklo and gets captured by Vicky, who is somebody working
for Fisk. Also an idiot.
Also an idiot, but also somebody working for Fisk. Basically, Maya and Henry are being held hostage at Henry's bowling alley. And then Bonnie gets captured.
And then Bonnie shows up.
Yeah. And Bonnie gets captured. Zane is there and he's threatening Bonnie and Henry and holds Maya at gunpoint. And all of a sudden, Zane gets a phone call. And he goes, "All right, we're out of here." To all of his men.
Everybody leaves.
Everybody leave. And Maya basically says, look, I'll meet up with you later, Bonnie, but you got to get out of here. Just leave. Maya.
Well, and Zen kills Vicky because obviously.
Yes. Yeah. And Maya learns from Henry that Fisk is still alive. And Henry says, but I'll help you, whatever. Because Henry really has been working for Fisk. And at the end of this is where Scully gives Maya that plate for her prosthetic. On her way out of town, because Maya's about to leave, and then she goes, I got to go back home. And she's going home, and all of a sudden, Fisk walks in. Which is why
it was well done.
It was really well done. It really was.
It was well done. You get that shadow view of him just stepping into the, into the lit hallway, and okay.
Yeah, it was great.
He gets the menacing part very well.
Yep. And I got to tell you, I mean, we're going to get into it, obviously, but I really loved the way they handled this relationship, this Fisk and Maya relationship.
Yeah.
Because, look, it's going to turn into good guy, bad guy. We know this.
Sure.
But even Fisk was like going, look, I'd rather have you with me than against me. Right? And
because he knows how good she is.
Yeah, but still, I got the sense there was still more than that. Like, he actually does care for her.
Yeah. Otherwise, he would have just had her killed.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So... So that brings us to the end of episode 3. Episode 4 is called Taloa. And in 2008, and I'm reading some notes here, I don't know where the Taloa thing comes from. But they do the recap again, which we saw some in Hawkeye. I thought we did, where Maya tries to get some ice cream. And she's a kid.
We saw that scene some. I think that was just the early preview of the show.
Oh, you think so?
I think that was just basically
okay,
because
I knew I saw it before, but I couldn't remember if it was in Hawkeye or if it was in a preview for this. But this is where Maya is like 12. And she goes to get some ice cream, and the ice cream...
No, she's got to be way younger than that. You think so? She's got to be like 6 or 7 or something like that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now that I'm...
She's really little.
Yeah, and the ice cream vendor on the street's like going, get out of here, and he doesn't know that she's deaf. And so...
Yeah, because he starts like, hey, use your words. You got to use your words.
Yeah,
and,
tell me what you want, all of that. And she's talking with Uncle Wilson, and basically he says, "Yeah, go get some ice cream. It's all good." And she comes back with no ice cream, and Fisk actually sees what's happening with the vendor and the vendor being a jerk, and he goes, "All right, wait here." And she's in the car,
like, puts her in the car, says, "I'll be right back."
And beats the ever loving crap out of that ice cream vendor.
Brutally.
Yeah, like he's wearing a white suit and it's just covered in blood, and he makes the phone call and just says,
yeah, and this is like the best part. This reminded me of the comics so much, because he just makes the call and goes, I need a new shirt, mine got dirty.
Yep you gotta bring me a suit. And turns, and Maya is standing there behind him, and he's like saying, don't be afraid or whatever. And she is not only not afraid, but she comes and kicks the dude in the head.
Like, yeah, a couple of times.
Yeah. And it's like, and Fisk is like going, all right, now we got something. I have someone I can raise. And so.
Get him young and learn from the church.
Right. So. Basically, we fast forward and we get Maya's working for Fisk, and always has a sign language interpreter there, and Fisk is teaching her, and they're, and the interpreter is translating and everything. And then Fisk says, "I think we're done. I think we're good. I've taught you all that I need, that I can teach you. And now we just need to go to work." And as he says that, he turns to the sign language interpreter and basically says, "Okay, you're dismissed. We have no need of you anymore.
They actually had a couple of scenes with her. So she's known them for a while.
Right.
And so she's known Maya for a while.
Yep.
And this is basically like, okay, well, we don't need the interpreter anymore. You're dismissed. And then you get the view of her going into the hallway. And I'm like, oh, no.
And the hallway is covered in plastic.
Because there's a plastic sheet over the hallway. And then they cut back to Maya and Kingpin sitting at the dinner table. And you hear the gunshot.
Yep.
But, of course, she doesn't.
Right. So. Yeah, it was again brutal and really well done.
That's what the character is.
Right.
Because that's a definite loose end.
Right. And so we flip back to the present, and Fisk and Maya are talking, you know, because he just walked in. That's all we saw from the previous episode. Fisk and Maya are walking. Fisk has people with him. And they grab Maya and hold her down, basically. And Fisk walks up to her and sticks something in her eye. And I'm going, okay, where are we going with this? And it was really cool. Because
the tech on this was actually really, really awesome to see.
Yeah, so they gave her an augmented reality contact lens so that not only can... Oh, and Kingpin has a earpiece. And not only can it translate his words into sign language on her lens, but also translate back to him.
Yeah.
And it was awesome technology. It literally was one of those things where it made me go,
Can we get that, please?
We could probably do that.
At some point, I hope we can, because I have a few people that can use that.
Yeah, it would have been awesome. But so that was really cool. I love that. And he basically just says, look, I don't want to fight. I'll give you my empire, but you got to come back with me. And yeah.
Yeah, because so far, what we've seen from her is that she's saying, I want the kingdom. Like, I want to be the queen.
Right.
So she's not fighting him to get away from him. She's fighting because she wants control of the entire thing.
Right. And, so basically we see Maya has another vision, and, we finally see Henry, who runs the bowling alley, take her to see Chula. And this is where we get Chula telling her about her ancestors. And
her mother.
And her mother, right. And basically says that the ancestors will be there to help her when she needs them most. She also said that Chula kind of stepped away from Maya and distanced herself because she looked so much like her mom. And
I've heard that used in other shows from time, and that is such a hard thing to hear.
Yeah. And you know what's weird is, and again, I'm not ever been in that situation, and maybe even culturally it's a difference, but that's a hard thing for me to believe. I don't know why. It feels like a TV trope thing versus a reality thing, but it doesn't matter. In this case, it works. And so Maya has it out with Chula, and then she goes, well, okay, cool. Now I got to go to the hotel and kill Fisk. pretty much what it is. So this is where we get a little bit of the Fisk backstory, which I think we also did see in Daredevil. Which is Fisk as a kid, when he found his father beating the crap out of his mother, beat the crap out of his dad and killed him.
Yeah, because we do get that. That's the whole white wall.
Yeah.
And why he's got the fascination with that and the white suit.
That's
and
right.
It's the hammer.
Yep.
From that show. Was it on Hawkeye or was it on Daredevil?
I think it was Daredevil. It was Daredevil season one. Yeah.
Yeah. So we did see him killing his father. So there's like one of the episodes, he basically turns to Maya and goes, "I lost my father too. He left." And I'm like, "Yeah, because you murdered him."
Right.
Brutally.
Yeah. And so, and basically, he reveals all this to Maya and says, "So look, if you're going to kill me, you got to make good on the threat."
Yeah, here's the hammer.
Here's the hammer. And she basically says, "No, I'm not you. I'm not doing that." And the next day, we find Maya has taken off. She hit the road. And Fisk is upset. Bummer.
He was waiting for her in the plane.
Right, right. And she said, "Yeah, no, I'm not doing that." So, the interesting thing about this, like, with even though the episode is labeled Tealoha, I still don't know what it refers to.
I do, like, honestly, I'm just not remembering.
So, because the notes that I've seen make no reference to it. So. So we get to the last episode, entitled Maya. What a surprise, given that we've gone through the history.
Oh, I think Tealoha might actually be her mother.
Oh, maybe it is.
Let me just double check that real quick.
That would make sense.
I'm not. Yeah, Tealoha is, that was her mother.
Yep, and actually, if I had just read ahead, and again, once again, I'm trying to be transparent about this. I am using Wikipedia for some of the summaries so I can refresh my memory. In the first sentence of episode 5 recap here, it says, "In her childhood, Maya accidentally hit a woodpecker. Tealoha reprimands her for hurting an innocent life."
Right.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Well, and that's the woodpecker, so...
Yes.
We see a woodpecker basically show up from episode 1 to 2, almost in every episode. And it starts off in the first episode, her grandmother sees the woodpecker and gets like a bad omen vibe. And then we see them get hit by a T-bone by a truck as the brakes are out.
Right.
And they're out in the storm, you know, driving to the store to pick up some ice cream, but it's raining. And the brakes are out, so they get T-boned, and her mom gets killed. And that's basically what starts the entire thing of she left with her dad to go to New York. He went to work for Fisk. She wound up working for Fisk. And her grandmother was completely just out of her mind, mad at her father for getting her daughter killed, because that's why the brakes were cut, because it was for him and not for her.
What is interesting to me is I wonder if the woodpecker features prominently in any Choctaw symbology.
I don't know. That is
because it was there like every episode. There was
a woodpecker. Including when in this episode where her mom tells her about the ancestors, she speaks of the woodpecker being connected, like he's the messenger. The ancestor would tell him things, and he would bring back information. You know, so it might be
right.
This is mythologies that I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, yeah. So, so this is also where we get a little bit of the superpower stuff, because when Tealoha is reprimanding her for hurting an innocent life, she heals the woodpecker.
And is it the first we actually see of any power in this show?
Yes, really. I mean, other than the glowing hands, really.
Right. Well, we saw that, but it didn't tell us what it does.
Right. Right. But this was actual active power. Right. I mean, she puts her hands over and heals. Releases it back into the wild. So then we get Biscuits that texts Maya and says, hey, by the way, Chula and Bonnie are missing. And Maya's like, ugh. And she goes back.
Now I got to come back and fix this.
I got to go back. Right. And she
why does everybody keep getting in trouble? Leave me alone.
Right. And she gets a vision, and Maya's mom says, hey, by the way, you're the embodiment of our people's legacy. That's it. And we get to the local festival, which is the powwow. It was the big powwow in town, and the bad guys are there, and Fisk is there, and Fisk has kidnapped Chula and Bonnie, and basically says, I'm going to kill your entire family for betraying me. And Biscuits, because again, dude's an idiot, he basically gets a hold of a monster truck and says, I'm taking people out.
Well, he saw the, because the henchmen pull up in two vans or
right.
two SUVs.
Yep.
And he saw them. He basically grabbed a monster truck and ran over the SUVs. That was well done.
It really was. It really was. But it's just like, I don't know, Biscuits. I love Biscuits. I think it was just awesome. And Henry just takes out Zane, the head bad guy. Yeah, because
we see Zane posting up on top on the roof of a camper right. with a rocket launcher.
Right. Right.
Just ready to fire into the crowd.
Right. And this is the weird thing for me. We're in this fight, and Chula and Bonnie get imbued with some power from Maya.
Yeah.
Which we've never seen anything like that in terms of like in this particular mythology, right? We've not seen anything like that whatsoever. But okay, because we don't know enough about the power, so why not? You know, I don't have a huge issue with it. And basically, so here's the other cool thing, because she can do stuff like that. Chula and Bonnie overpowered Fisk's guys, and then Maya goes to Fisk, and she lays hands on him, on his brain, and brings Fisk to the memory of his father beating his mother, and basically to the point of trying, but she's trying to heal the hurt. Like, she still cares for him, which I thought was pretty interesting. Because this could have easily turned into a stereotypical good guy, bad guy. I used to love you, but now I hate you. And nothing's ever going to change the hate that I have for you.
Right.
And it's not that simple, and it's never that black and white. Right. And so the fact that she basically tried to get him to come to terms with that trauma and release it, like just release the hate, release the anger, all of that. And Fisk is just like going, what did you do to me? like
right, because nobody really knows what she did to him.
Right, but he takes off.
Yeah.
And we get Maya saying, well, yeah, I think we're done here, and she takes off too. And we see her basically saying goodbye to the family. You know she's going to end up going back at some point because now that kind of thing has been healed there. And that's pretty much the episode. She takes off. Except we get a mid-credits scene. Because why wouldn't we?
Excellent.
Which was excellent because we have read comics. mid-credits scene, we get Fisk, who is sitting there. And he's watching the news.
Yeah, he's on his plane. On his plane. Just about to... I don't think they took off yet. Heading back to New York.
Right.
And he's watching the newscast of the mayoral election in New York. And
they're like,
and one of the guys is saying, you know, what we need in here is it's not too late for a newcomer into this race. Somebody from the outside, somebody unknown.
Yeah.
A real brawler.
Yep.
Somebody who's not afraid to get their hands dirty.
Right. And they're talking about the New York mayoral elections. And if they wanted to be cheesier about it, they could have actually done a close up of Fisk smiling. Which would
they do a close up?
He's definitely got a look.
He's not smiling.
He's got kind of an idea in his head. You can see.
You can see the wheels turning.
But we've seen that trope on TV, right? Where it's just if somebody hears an idea that triggers something about him, and honestly, a toothy smile from the kingpin would have been terrifying.
And D'Onofrio can pull that off.
Because I don't think we've seen D'Onofrio
smile as this character. I don't think so
at
either.
All. Yeah. And frankly, the last time I recall seeing him smile, Full Metal Jacket.
Well, I mean, the TV show he did.
Well,
I think there might have been some scenes in the Daredevil when he was with his wife.
But you know the Full Metal Jacket scene that I'm talking about, where he snaps and he has that like that downward head look, and he's looking up through the top of his eyes, and then smiles that evil. Oh, chilling, yeah. Chilling, just absolutely chilling. And so that's kind of it. This series was so different than any other series that they've had.
So we skipped over one of the things, and it's the grandmother used to be a crafter, and she hasn't done anything basically since Maya left.
Right.
And we do get her sitting down, and like she goes and asks Sully for the sewing machine that he fixed up for her. So she actually sits down, and she gets her mojo back. Right. She crafts the suit, and then when Maya walks in, and she has the vision of her mother. And gets like the download about the ancestors.
Right.
When the vision fades, she sees the suit, and so we get that the Marvel trope lately of the last episode, the hero gets their suit.
Right. Right. Fair enough.
But the suit actually looked really cool, and there was some really awesome designs on it. And it's a handcrafted leather armor, which takes a long time to make, which is really really awesome.
I only had one issue with that. And that is, she tried to basically get close to Kingpin by kind of hiding in the powwow crowd.
She did that to avoid the henchmen because they're basically just looking for her and around the people.
Right,
they're not expecting her to be part of the performers.
But the problem is that her suit stuck out so much.
Yeah,
from
yeah.
a color scheme standpoint. It just wasn't like anything else that was near her. So it was just like this giant bullseye.
Yeah.
But I love the suit. I thought the suit was great. But yeah, it just, that was the one thing. I loved the entire vibe of this show. I loved the mythology. It didn't really occur to me until finishing this show that, look, Kahori from What If is Mohawk, not Choctaw, but similar origins from a power standpoint, sort of. Like the original Mohawk drank from the lake. The Forbidden Lake, which, you know, yes, had the Tesseract in it, but it's that whole like the origin of the powers is from the origin of the people,
right?
And so I thought that was really an interesting way to go about it. I kind of dig it because that's not typical in superheroes. And both What If and Echo was done in collaboration with the respected people's nations, which I thought was also very cool. Also, this series, if you're watching it on Disney Plus, you can watch it with Choctaw dub.
which is just a neat touch.
It's just a neat touch. But it shows respect.
Yeah.
So I, you know, look, I don't know nothing from nothing, but that seemed to be a cool touch that they didn't need to do. And so I don't know. How did you feel about the series as a whole?
Overall, I enjoyed it. It's definitely different because you actually have to pay attention to this. Half the series is silent because it's all sign language, so you got to read it.
You really had to pay attention.
Yeah, you actually have to pay attention to it. So if you're looking for a show that you can just put on the other monitor and while you're doing something, this isn't it.
Nope.
Like, you're going to miss chunks of the show because half of it is not spoken. Overall, I thought it was really well done. The connection to the ancestors was really cool to check out. I don't particularly like that they get away from her comic book power because she does have a really cool comic book power of the copycat, which we did get a little bit of in Hawkeye, but they didn't do anything with it here, except in the first episode when she's in the rink boxing. We get a little bit of her like paying attention, watching the guy, and then, you know, figuring him out. But they completely got away from that.
Yeah,
I like the powers that they gave her, but it would have been nice to keep the originals as well.
Well, so the director, Sidney Freeland, basically he opted not to do that, not to do the comic book version of Maya's powers because he thought it was lame.
Okay.
Which I disagree with. I think that you could do it really creatively. I disagree with, and that's
basically going to be the biggest complaint from anybody, you know, from any Marvel fans or, yeah, and I will use fans as regular and fans in quotes because we get a lot of idiots. But that's going to be one of the major complaints is, well, you didn't have to give her powers like this. She already had powers, whatever. It was cool. I liked it. I would have liked to see the original as well. The last fight was weird.
Yeah.
You can't, like, I get it. You can't have her have a, you know, a brawl out with Kingpin.
Right.
That's not going to happen. At least she's not winning that.
Right.
So the way they did it was pretty cool, and we don't know the ramifications of it until we see it later, probably in whatever show he's popping up in next. But the channeling to her grandmother and to her cousin, that was just kind of strange.
Yeah,
it was interesting, but I don't know if that worked very well. So I feel like the first three episodes were really good. The fourth one was pretty solid, and then kind of down a little bit by the end of it. But overall, I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I gotta say, I'm not a fan of releasing all the episodes all at once, which is weird because I'm a binge guy. But I think I understand why they did it, because the story benefited from being able to just go right into the next part. But that
can be said for any show that's like this.
Well, even
binged or weekly.
Yeah, I guess so. So the reception generally was decent. Looks like Rotten Tomatoes has a 72% approval rating. I dig it. I don't know. I don't know if we're gonna get a season two, and I'm okay if we don't.
Yeah, I'm okay with her just showing up in other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think she needs to show up in other stuff. Now, I would love for her to show up in other stuff that isn't just Kingpin related.
I can see her showing up in Daredevil, and if they do like Defenders, you know, Heroes for Hire or something like that. I can see her popping up in that.
And the other thing is I'm torn because I think at one point I wanted can't I think of her name? Well, so I wanted Ms. Marvel to show up.
Oh, yeah.
And say, "Hey, I'm putting together a team."
Yeah, I think she's a little too old for that character.
She might be.
Because we get that at the end of... was it at the end of Ms. Marvel? Or was it... Yeah. No, it was the
Sting. It was the end of Marvels. It was the end of Marvels.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll talk about that next time.
Right. So, yeah. So, overall, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a pretty strong entry for, like, this phase... I guess, Phase 5 Marvel Spotlight banner. What threw me a little bit is it's rated TVMA.
Yeah, I think mostly because of Kingpin beating up people.
Right.
And, you know, like Vicky getting shot in the back and then we get a close-up shot of his face with blood all over it.
Right. But, I mean, I think that's kind of it because, like, there was no strong language at all.
No. There's like no strong language, but oh my god, Kingpin. Yeah. When he—that's just brutal.
Yeah, it was. But I mean, even the bad guys didn't curse.
The only scene that made me cringe was when she's on the train and she falls down and the leg gets caught in the clamp.
Yep.
And by the first glance, I looked at it and I thought her leg got caught, and I was like, "Oh no, that's the prosthetic." Right. Because I was like, "Oh my god! Right. Oh no, that's just a fake leg."
That would have been brutal. Oh.
Oh god.
Oh, yeah. So, all right. So I think that wraps it for this episode. Sen, why don't you tell people where the people can find you?
Yeah, you can find me every evening except for Fridays and Saturdays, and then Sunday mornings on twitch.tv/SenRaven for Marvel Strike Force, a couple of other games here and there. So come on by, say hello, come hang out, request some music.
And I can be found everywhere at VO by Kurt, except on Twitter where it's real VO by Kurt because Twitter is a bunch of jerks. Yeah, mostly on TikTok and Instagram at this point. And with that, we will see you next time. Have a good one.
Ready?
Oh, you quit so bad on that one.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. Oh, well.
And stop recording.